The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, whether or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com. Welcome to Farming the Countryside. I'm Andrew McCray. Dustin O'Hanlon with O'Hanlon Seed in Lexington, Nebraska is our guest. His company scouts thousands of acres each year, plus he's become a go-to man for information on growing great crops and much more. We get his perspective on what worked well this year and the best practices to incorporate for next season. It's our topic for this week's Farming the Countryside, brought to you by Pivot BioProven. It's time to rethink nitrogen. Pivot BioProven replaces nitrogen fertilizer with microbes that adhere to the crop's root system and apply nitrogen each day. 2019 performance report data shows Pivot BioProven consistently outperforms synthetic nitrogen fertilizer year over year, providing corn growers improved yields and a more dependable nitrogen supply that isn't lost to the environment. To read the performance report, go to pivotbio.com. And for more information on Pivot BioProven, just text PROVEN to 31313. Last week, I made a drive to central Nebraska for interviews that you will hear on some of our Farm Journal outlets. One of my stops was to visit with Dustin O'Hanlon in Lexington, Nebraska. Dustin is a well-respected crop scout and runs a business that assists area farmers with a number of decisions. We talked about a variety of topics: seed selection, weed control, plant nutrition, tillage, cover crops, and more. And Dustin helps us look at those practices from the perspective of what provides the best return on investment and how we can positively impact our fields over the long term. We did our interview in the cornfield where the combines and grain carts were running, so if you hear some noise in the background, you'll know that harvest was well underway. Here's our conversation. Dustin, we're in the cornfield. We're going to get to harvest here in a moment, but take me back to the spring. Talk about how this crop went in. What kind of season this has been?
Well, earlier this spring, we started off with a full profile from 2019. So we were extremely worried about our soils and how wet they were. We got a little bit of rains in April, slowed us down. We had ended up with a snowstorm in April the 18th, which actually this corn that we're setting in was planted just before that 3-inch snowstorm. Ended up that way, and then we turned off hot and dry after that. So been a long season, especially for the irrigating side.
Well, your area here, you mentioned the irrigation. Kind of give me the mix between dry land and irrigation in this area.
Yeah, we're probably at about 75% irrigation. And so most of our cornfields around the Platte Valley region is all irrigated.
For the folks then that are putting in a crop this year, what did they see early on besides the weather then? Any disease troubles, those types of things as we move through the crop season?
Yeah, we ended up with quite a bit of wind, especially through that June period time. We ended up with some 70, 80 mile an hour wind storms that hit towards the latter part of June. Disease pressure, we were fairly light for the most part. We had a little bit of gray leaf spot that came in, southern rust that came in late. As far as hindering that crop, for the most part, water was probably the main contributing factor.
You're out scouting lots and lots of acres in this area. So were there any things that you saw some folks do that helped them a lot in the long run, whether it was with disease pressure, just getting the crops in? What were the practices, I guess you'd say, that you saw that worked good this year?
Yeah. So this year, weed control is number one. Make sure we take care of the weed control and get started early, especially with the amount of heat that we had and hardening off our weeds. The quicker we could get on our weed control, we were a lot better. This year too, coming in, western beans a big factor. Western bean cutworm is a big factor in this area. So we made sure, scouted that, looked at that, and sprayed those acres that we needed and put on a fungicide to help hold that in. Especially with the amount of gray leaf spot, I mean, it was light this year, but with the heat that we had, keeping that plant green and greener longer and healthier definitely showed a higher contributing factor for yields.
I always like to ask, and you mentioned the fungicide, is everybody around here using fungicide? What have you seen, both corn and beans, with the fungicide?
Yeah, so we're really getting started on the soybeans these last couple years and playing with fungicide and seeing what we can see on yields. And using Climate Field View and being able to do different checks this year, we did see some difference, which was surprising, because I would say on the beans we didn't see a whole lot of disease early, but we are seeing some definite yield factors on that. As far as using fungicide in this area, we're using more and more on our corn, but we still like to be able to go out and check that crop, make sure that it needs it, and use that money where we need to make sure we're at economic levels.
I know there's some differences in opinion on the fungicide as far as the scouting side. Can you scout and be able to know if I need it, or is it one of those things you think I just need to do it regardless of the scouting? I'm not saying scouting is not important, but I think you know what I mean.
Yeah. So for me, it starts on the year before. What kind of pressure we had the year before? What's your rotations like? What kind of crop are you going into from planting into that year? So looking at that, taking that into consideration, and then looking at your weather pattern. So it's hard. I will tell you, on most diseases, once you see a disease on a corn plant, a lot of time that's been inoculated 2 weeks before. So you have to scout, and you have to scout often to be able to understand what kind of disease pressure there is. And also know what you had the year before. Take all those into consideration. Hybrid placement, know the ratings of your hybrids, and using that to determine if you need a fungicide application. So, you know, there, like you said, there's so many guys that just want to go out, put it on, and let's move forward. And I'm not going to say that's a bad thing, but being able to take into consideration what you have and using those economic thresholds, in my opinion, is some of the best thing we can do.
Return on investment has been there, I'm guessing, with it.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You mentioned weed control earlier. Any special things that you found that have worked well with weed control, not only this year, but, you know, previous to that, what your findings working for people?
Yeah, so weed control early and often, especially with our new resistant weeds that we have. In our area, we use a lot of cover crops, and we feel that the cover crops help suppress those weeds and take care of that. So burn downs early. We like to use burn downs early. Keep that crop clean and never, I've always said, see dirt, spray dirt, keep it clean.
Do you do fall spraying here, or has that been something that's not done as much?
No, we don't do a whole lot of fall spraying, a little bit here and there, but our area being so heavy in cover crops, we end up using a lot of cover crops to help suppress those weeds.
So with the cover crops, any certain mix that you're finding that's working well, not only for weed suppression, but then as far as capturing some of the nutrients for the crop coming up?
Well, for me on cover crops, the way I look at it, it's basically a solar plant. So if I can use that green material to take in nutrients and sunlight and photosynthesis, we're helping increase the amount of nutrients we can put in the soil. So in our area, we're using a lot of some brassicas, some vetch, and some winter wheat to help do that, and have had great success with it.
You were telling me earlier about some of the return on investment with the cover crops. Walk me through that, because I'm guessing it must be there because you've got lots of folks doing it.
Yeah, so we started doing cover crops in my area back in 2005, and so we're bumping up on about 15, 20 years on cover crops. And we have, in all cases, we have seen that cover crop will always pay for itself. Whether it's in yield, whether it's in disease pressure, getting rid of insect pressure, and just helping the overall tilth of that field out. Also, just being able, like I was talking about, feeding those microbials. This soil is alive. Every day the soil is alive. And if we can continue to keep those microbials alive, we will continue to increase our yields and see more profitability out of it.
Are you getting those cover crops in after a harvest like this? Because we're heading into October. Can you get the cover crop in and get it growing, or how have you dealt with that?
I get asked all the time whether or not, when's the last time we should put in a cover crop? And I say, there's always a good time to put in a cover crop. If we can get roots growing, that's the best thing we can do. Anytime we can, just like Mother Nature, she tries to keep something green all the time. So if we're not able to put in a cover crop before it freezes or the ground gets too hard, then we'll come in early in the spring and start with the different types of cover crops, whether it's oats, some spring crops, put them in keep them there for a month and a half, till them out, go ahead and plant in the corn.
Go to the nutrition side for just a moment. When you're out scouting with folks as far as what I need for fertility, what are some of the things that you think are be top of mind for them?
On fertility, knowing what we've got for our crops and how our rotations are at, looking at that, making sure we're taking care of the main components, M, P, and K, and then looking at our microbials, understanding what that soil's like. In our area, we have a lot of feedlots, so we use quite a bit of manure in this area, but managing those situations, whether that be through zone soil sampling, so we get a good idea of exactly what our fertility's like on each field, or doing a little bit of grid sampling. But knowing what that is and utilizing what's in our soil to make sure that we get the right recommendation there is.
Nitrogen over the course of the year, how are most people managing their nitrogen here?
In this area, we strip till's been a big thing. We've got a manufacturer right around here that does promotes a lot of strip tilling, so it's a big thing. But we'll do some pre-plant nitrogen and then come back in, do a post, a pre-plant, pre-emerge, and then turn around and do some side dressing, whether that's through the pivot or knifing it on or spreading dry over the top.
So we've got harvest going on right now, but I'm sure people are already thinking about next season and seed selection.
Yes.
So walk me through how I should be making my seed selection, what you're visiting with them about.
Well, so right now, the big thing is we're just getting into harvest. We're starting to see yields, which is exciting. It's one of my favorite times of the year. We've worked all year to see the fruits of our labor, and so it's a big thing. Looking at seed selection, one of the big things I talk to my growers is, yield's always number one, right? Everybody wants to talk about yield. How did this hybrid yield? Well, we need to know what happened through that season and understand our weather patterns that we had and what affected that plant to either do really good on yield or not so good. So I tell guys my five components are, yes, we got to look at yields, understand your yield maps, take a look at that. Second, know what we had this year, so whether our weed control, what our weeds were like, what our disease pressure was, and our overall fertility. Did we maximize our yield potential for what we fertilize for? And take all those things into consideration and blend it together, and then we start looking at hybrids to see how that plays. You know, if we've got a high disease pressure, maybe we need to be looking at doing some crop rotation. How many years have we been corn on corn, especially in our area? Do we need to look at trying to rotate those out? One of the other things is, what kind of tillage practices are we going to use? Are we going to go in and do full maximum tillage, no-till scenario, or will we bell these corn stalks up? And all those things play into point on how we are going to select what seed we're going to do. So it's a full circle, and that's the beauty about Channel Seedsman, is being out here on these fields every day or every week, understanding what the growers' fields are like and utilizing that to make sure that we get the best hybrid we can.
You mentioned being out on the fields. To me, and a lot of us, these fields look pretty similar. How much difference is there? Why should we be scouting? Because you do it all the time.
Yeah. So I'll use a scenario that I use quite often is, if I own cattle and I'm going to throw cattle out in a feedlot or out in a pasture, and I'm just going to leave them out there. They got plenty of food. They got plenty of grass. They got all the water they need, and I'm not going to look at it for the next 6 months. That's probably not going to work out too well. There's not very many ranchers out there that'll do that. No different than a cornfield, in my opinion. Every cornfield is different. Every field has a different environment. And understanding that environment, you can be able to manage that to get the maximum potential. And the more we can manage and maximize our crop's potential, the better off we have. And we've seen it over the last 10 to 12 years. You know, you start looking at yields and how fast we have increased our yields, and it's no different than what we're seeing in the last 4 to 5 years with the USDA yields. We keep bumping up on that high average every year, and we're sitting here scratching our heads going, well, there's no way. We're doing a better job of managing. So being able to scout these fields, understand what that plant is doing, we can change that through the season to be able to keep that maximum yield potential there.
Let's jump over to the beans for just a moment.
Yes.
On the seed selection side, we've got some new options for us this fall.
Yeah, so extremely excited. We just got Extendamax labeled and passed, so we're going to be able to use the Extendamax program where we can use Roundup, dicamba, and the glyphosate trait, which will give us a great opportunity to be able to use all three of those herbicides in a bean scenario, soybean scenario, so we can maximize and have our best weed control out there. You know, that system to me is the absolute best control we can see for some of our weeds and some of our resistant weeds. So great opportunity there.
What have you seen in the trials that you've done out here?
Great response. Soybeans look very good. We're excited. We actually got two fields that we have not harvested yet. We were waiting for the registration to get approved, which now it's approved, so we'll be able to see those beans and be able to get them harvested for the yields. But from what we've seen in the fields, we've been extremely happy, and being able to have Channel Elite genetics and to bring that forward for this system is going to be a great opportunity for our growers.
With those options we have now, is that going to change any management practices, things that you're going to do next season on those fields?
Yeah, so it's going to give us an opportunity to be able to manage those weed scenarios just a little bit better. We saw it this year. We got so dry in June and hardened off those weeds, and then we were past our point to where we could spray our Xtend on our soybeans, so some of those weeds we just couldn't control. Well, now with the glufosinate trait, we'll be able to go in there and control that and be able to take care of it. But we're still going to keep our same thoughts as got to get a pre-emerge on, have them clean going in, keep them clean. And one of my sayings I tell my growers, want to see dirt, spray dirt, no weeds.
So before we wind up, take me to as we think about next year then, what are the things top of mind that should be on growers' minds as we're looking at 2021?
Well, number one, you know, we always look at the market, see where we're at as far as our income levels, but we've got a great opportunity with the new Extendamax soybeans that we can take care of some weed control. So I believe that's going to be a big factor on what we're going to see as far as corn and soybeans in the area. Second, continue the keep watching our crops, make sure what we've got as far as standability and harvestability, and manage our nutrients. You know, the big thing this year, we're going to see some great yield opportunities, I believe. But watch that nutrients that we've got, and let's maximize our yields as much as we possibly can.
Best practices that people should be using. You've kind of alluded to them in that answer, but other things that you've just seen year over year that more people should be thinking about, perhaps they don't.
Yeah. So, taking care of our soil. Number one, we've been blessed to be able to put on this earth. And a lot of that has came from what we're standing on right now and what our crops are growing on. Take care of that soil, whether it be through cover crops, and just manage it the best we can. So I'm a big promoter on cover crops. Believe that that it does help us maximize and produce more yields. And just make sure that we continue to watch what we're doing and help out Mother Nature as much as we can.
And all in all, this year will be where as far as harvest? One of the best ever in this area?
I it's hard to say. We're just getting a good start. Soybeans have been extremely well. Even with our little bit of weed pressure we had in there, I've been extremely excited with what our soybean yields are coming out. We have seen some phenomenal yields on our wet corn. We're probably going to be hitting dry corn in the next 10 days. And so we'll get a good idea what the corn's doing. But I would say we're going to be average to above.
We're in harvest. Obviously, we want to get everything in the combine and in the bin. So how are you helping reduce harvest loss?
Well, one of the things that we do for our growers out here is we try to walk behind those combines when they'll give us a call. So that way we can come out and make sure that we're not seeing a lot of harvest loss. If like for instance on corn, if we're losing 4 to 5 bushels or even more than that, whether it's throwing it over the top of the combine because we still got quite a bit of green leaves out here and we're picking wet corn, well, that can become a weed for next year, especially if we're going in on a corn-on-corn situation. So we want to minimize that potential to have volunteer corn as much as we can. If we're in a situation where by nobody's fault we ended up having quite a bit of volunteer corn or ears that did drop, then we've got to look at a whole different selection on what we're going to do for next year, whether or not we're going to rotate that ground, how we're going to rotate it, or if we've got to stay on a corn-on-corn situation, how do we manage that either through grazing with cattle or just on tillage and making sure that we don't cover those kernels up so all of a sudden that becomes a weed. You know, so many times we think that that weeds are pig weeds and those things, but the crop that we harvest could become that too if we're not careful.
We had trouble with it this year. What do you do with volunteer corning? Usually we rotate, but yeah, corning corn is a little hard.
It's a little hard, Well, and you look at the technologies, you know, just even the technologies now, our soybeans and our corn both have some of the same technologies. Now we're throwing in, you know, we've got Liberty Trait on our corn and we're going to be able to use some of these different herbicide programs. We've still got to manage that to make sure that we don't end up having to spend more money than we need to, for different herbicide selections.
I really enjoyed my conversation with Dustin. One of the things that intrigued me was his view on cover crops. He tries to keep it simple and just sow wheat, although he's open to seed mixes. However, as you heard, he thinks it's important to get that cover crop sown every year, no matter what the calendar says. That's it for this week's show. Thanks for listening. I'll catch you next time on Farming the Countryside. The Farming the Countryside podcast is brought to you by Pivot BioProven. Get what you paid for, the nitrogen that stays put, weather or not. Learn more at pivotbio.com.